There was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, at the Sheep Gate, a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, with five porticos. In these lay a large number of ill, blind, lame, and crippled. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been ill for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. While I'm on my way, someone else gets down there before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise up, take up your mat and walk." Immediately the man became well, took up his mat and walked. Now that day was a Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who was cured, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to carry your mat." And he answered them, "The man who made me well told me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" And they said to him, "Who is this man who told you, 'Take it up and walk?'" The man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away since there was a crowd there. After this, Jesus found him in the temple area and said to him, "Look, you are well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went and told the Jews that Jesus was the one who had made him well. Therefore the Jews began to persecute Jesus because he did this on a Sabbath. So the Gospel of the Lord. Well, as a priest, I'm very often justifiably busy on the Sabbath. Even when I'm not actually preaching or leading a service, I try to be available to people. Years ago, someone convinced me that it takes a lot of energy or some kind of crisis to phone and actually make an appointment with a priest. So I see being available in a natural, casual setting surrounding Sunday worship as a very important part of my ministry. People need to talk to their priest in normal times, times when they're not in trouble or working on some project. This being the case, I have all the greater need for creating some Sabbath times for myself. And it has to be more than just rest and recreation, although that would be a good start in our activity-driven society. I find much comfort in all this in the works of the poet Wendell Berry. In his collection of poems, A Timbered Choir, he speaks of Sabbath rest in 100 different ways. He reclaims the life of the spirit amid material things and the small friendships that are available to everyone. He observes the rest that comes to the land through crop rotation and honest husbandry. He identifies the mysteries that happen all around us that are beyond our control or exploitation. We hear him say in The Farm, "To rest, go to the woods, for what is made without your thought or work." Since I'm a pretty serious gardener, all of this feeds my preferences. However, there's something even more important taking place in Jesus' treatment of the Sabbath. As I understand it, by healing the crippled man, Jesus is doing three things. He's broken the law of the Sabbath. He has called God his Father. He has made himself in some way equal to God. I'm especially interested in the fact that by calling God his Father, as one scripture scholar has put it, Jesus speaks in the name of God, breaking the traditional link between the physical world and the name of God. With our all-too-casual use of the name of God, we don't have a Sabbath to break or a word that's really sacred. Could it be that bringing a more restful attention to simply unnoticed things, that we, like Jesus, might find the Father's presence even in ordinary things? Are we so busy, so important, that we miss God's greatest gifts that are available to everybody? Like the man at the well, I need healing. I need to be in touch with the life of God. I need to walk with a rhythm that reflects such restful awareness. As Jesus connects the actual name of God with the world around us, I would like to propose a simple activity that might help us reposition the name of God in our experience. For a day or two, I would ask you not to speak the name of God at all. When you've been cut off on the freeway, when the snack you were saving in the refrigerator disappears, when you stupidly stub your toe, say the word you must, but leave God out of it. When you say grace before meals, just once or twice, do not mention God's name. This can be a real awakening. And so on, as your needs dictate. Then, as you let the name of God back into your world, perhaps you'll create a worthy place for it. Perhaps you'll create a Sabbath mentality that lets God arise out of restfulness, that keeps God linked to the wonder of creation, that allows the extraordinary beauty, mystery, and love of God to find a fresh, peaceful expression in our lives. A Sabbath miracle, indeed.